Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. All right, let's pray with the tithes and offering. Our tithes and offerings are worship, act of worship, faith, and obedience to God's word. Amen. They represent a tangible commitment to His kingdom. It's not just financial contributions. This spiritual discipline unlocks divine blessings and resources, fueling the church's mission to impact lives and communities through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a powerful expression of our trust in God's abundant provision and a vital part of our covenant with Him. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We bring our tithes as worship unto You. We thank You, Lord, as offerings that we bring as seeds that we sow, it shall be multiplied back to us. We thank You, Father, for the needs and the wants of everyone here in this church are met, and the wants of the needs of the church are met. Thank You, Father, in Jesus' name. Everyone say, amen. Today we're going to talk about why we must pray. A faith-centered exploration of prayer's power to unlock God's plan, break through spiritual opposition, and release divine destiny for every believer. Amen. Just some stories. Some stories that show us why prayer matters. I've said this before. Many years back, there was a girl in this church in a gifted program, but she graduated in dentistry now. Sometimes, you know, in the natural, you are able to go into medical school. You may score all the A's, but the interview, that's where the devil can interfere. That's where prayer comes in. If not, some of them never really step in, realize their full potential because the devil threw them off. So they never got into medical school. In the past, there was an ASEAN scholar. He's a straight A student. Didn't get into medical school. Got into law school here, but he didn't like to do law, so he quit. Somehow or other, he went to Melbourne and he went back into medical school. But his classmate, a girl who is in our church, and she's not a straight A student. Her prelim is all E's. But her final is suddenly just straight A's. And she got into medical school and she's a surgeon today. And God put in her heart, you know, since secondary three, that she'll be in medical school. And it can be God's plan. But if we don't pray, many times the devil can thwart God's plan. Amen. So that's why we need to pray. That's not just your ability alone. The church has been praying for her, you know, when she was in this church. And we believe the prayer got her through the interview. Prayer would deal with the forces in the realm of the spirit. Sometimes it does. Not sometimes. If we don't pray, you know, praise God. Now, let me tell you a story about Bayan. 8 years ago, she applied, you know, before she was saved, you know, she applied for USPR. And last year, they sent her an email, you know, oh, you can go for interview. But it was delayed. This year, they sent email again and straight away gave her the PR. And during the Chinese New Year, because she got a PR, she had to make a trip. You know. You had to enter the country. So she brought Oliver there. And they went there, they began to pray whether, you know, she should move Oliver to go to school there. And they went there straight. They just felt that it was God's plan for them to be there. When they were there, got Oliver to pray also. And pray whether, you know, Oliver should move there to go to school. Whenever Oliver prays, the Holy Spirit move on him. He'll cry. The mother asked him, why you cry? He said, the Holy Spirit just move on me on the inside. So they felt that this year is time for them to really go. Another thing is, during the Chinese New Year, they went over, and God just put people in place just to help them, you know. Last year, she doesn't know anybody over at Boston side. But this year, she know a girl in Hong Kong. She graduated in MIT and now works in Boston and had two girls. And she said, oh, come, you know, you can stay at my place and all that. And she was praying about whether to put Oliver in a private school or public school. Because public school boarding, it costs $80,000 a year, US. And you have to have an agent to help you to get into the boarding school. And the agent will charge you another $50,000 US. So she was praying, you know, and then somebody else she knows, she said, oh, my children go to a public school and it's good over in Boston side. So God put people in place and when it's time for her to go. And all this, many times when you pray, the Lord just prepared the way for you, you know, arrange people for you, you know, to help you along the way. And not only that, she said something she never told me before. She said, when she was young, you know, when she was 12 years old, father just put her in a boarding school and then just uproot her from Bao Tou and move her to Qingdao boarding school. And she have to look after her sister and then her cousin at 12 years old. And all those years, she has to move very often, move from place to place, and that created a sense of insecurity in her. She said last year she was delivered in this church. Last year, when she was thinking about going to the U.S., she was like, oh, man. But this year, she just felt it's okay. She just felt good about it. She said, why? Because she was delivered from that insecurity. Because for many years, often she has to relocate. Not relocate, not parents bring you along. Hello, son, let's go. No, she has to do it herself. See, her parents didn't help her to relocate. Every time you change school, whatever, you move house, all that, you relocate. You change, you move from place to place, you change the place you stay, you relocate, and she has to handle all her by herself. There's an insecurity came out because of that. But she was delivered when she was in church here. So as she looked back, the Lord brought her here, 2 years here, preparing her to move to the U.S. Praise God, and all has to do with, you know, a lot of things, the plans of God been prayed out. And not only that, last year when we went to Beijing for holiday, and she just arranged everything for us, she arranged a tour guide for us. And the tour guide saw their life. He said, you all are very different, not us, talking about them. He said, you all are very different from others, from other rich people. You see, you're all very different. So that tour guide asked her for a Bible. He said, can you give me a Bible? You see, so their lifestyle opened up this tour guide for her to ask for a Bible. That's what lifestyle, we call lifestyle evangelism. Amen. Came out of the fruit of their prayer life. The CFO who came to school, she told me, a few of them, their lives all changed after they came to school here. Because in the school, we also have prayer. She said their life is very different now. And the CFO is trying to influence another lady who is in the stem cell business. You see, you need to catch up, you know, spiritually. You need to catch up spiritually. And she said, you know, you all need to read the Bible every day. Even you don't have a lot of time, just a bit, it's still better not to read at all. Even you have, 5-10 minutes, it's still better to read 5-10 minutes of the Word of God. She's trying to influence the others to get into the Word of God. And praise God. So spiritually, they are doing very good. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, why we must pray? Let's go back to quote what John Wesley's question is. He said, God can do nothing for humanity unless someone asks him. Somebody prays or somebody asks him. This statement confronts our assumptions about God's sovereignty. If God could simply act whatever he desires on the earth, prayer will be a formality, a spiritual courtesy, not a necessity. Why is it so that it seems like God can do nothing for mankind unless somebody asks him or somebody prays? We have to start with Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. God created the heaven and the earth. He said, let us make man in our image. Let them have dominion over the fish, the sea, over the birds of the air, that means the first heaven, and over all the cattle, over all the earth. So actually, the title deed was given to Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve have dominion over the earth, the authority to take dominion over the earth, to control what's on the earth. Where they get the power from? Adam and Eve, when God created them, they were without sin. You know, some teaching, Adam and Eve created, they were sinful. No, God created them perfect. When God created anything, it is perfect. God did not create Adam and Eve with a sinful nature. No, they were perfect. Their brain were 100% functioning. Ours only 10%. So where did they have the power to control the birds in the air? The power from God. Because they were not separated from God, there was no sin separating them from God. The power of God flows through them, and they just command the birds in the air to obey, and they will obey them. But after they sinned, they lost their power. And Psalm 115, verse 16, heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men. Amen. So in other words, you know, just like if your father builds a house for you, he's given the title deed to you, he cannot do whatever he wants. He pleases with your house. When you get married, you buy a HDB flat, you buy a condo, your parent has no say over your family and your house. So it's the same here. God has given the dominion over man, humanity, and they have dominion, and they lost their power to take dominion. But the earth still belongs to man. In Psalm 115, says the earth still belongs to man. That means your house, your authority still belongs to you. You have the authority over your house, your household. Not me, I don't have. I have authority over this household, spiritual house, not your house. Praise God. And then if we don't pray, prayer is asking God, inviting God, giving him permission to do what he wants to do on earth on our behalf. One time, you know, I think he's an atheist or journalist. He confronted the preachers in the U.S. He said, you guys said that God is the one who can do whatever he wants because he's sovereign. He said, it doesn't make sense. Look at all the evil that's going on. If God can do anything, why didn't he stop it? If God is a good God. If he could, if he doesn't, means he condoned evil that's happening on this earth. The war that's going on. Amen. Now, there's this Professor Jiang in Beijing. He predicted three things. He predicted Trump will win the election. He won. He predicted Trump will go to war with Iran. It happened now. He predicted the third thing. We have to wait. He said America will lose the war. When it loses the war, everything will go down. The economy will go down. I think it will affect the whole wide world. It's going to affect. You know, that's why we need to pray for this part of the world. Singapore is prosperous because there are a lot of American companies here. And our CPF money, the sovereign wealth, a lot is invested in America. So we need to pray. Amen. But anyway, that's why we need to trust God. We need to learn to trust God. We need to learn to look to God. Praise God. And how do you look to God? The only confidence I have is I'm still here. I need to fulfill his plan, his purposes. I'll be fine. Amen. That's why the plan and purpose of God is very important. God's will in your life is very important. In other words, prayer is important. Because we pray out the plans of God, the will of God. We are to fulfill God's plan, God's will. Because Jesus hasn't come yet, God will pull us through. Amen. So, but scripture reveals something profound about the order God established at creation. He gave the authority all over to humanity. He cannot do anything on earth as he wish. Amen. Even though he's sovereign, we can pray, we can ask him how he's going about to help us. That's his sovereign part. The traditional churches has mispreached, misunderstood the sovereignty of God. He is sovereign, that is right. But he cannot do what he wishes, what he wants, what he desires on this earth. But when we ask him, we pray, then how he wants to do it, that is sovereign. Your plan for your life, that's God who's the one who planned, not you. You plan, and there's no need to pray. You remember that I preached the message on the 28th of December, prepare for a difficult time the coming year. I've been telling you this year is going to be bad. It's going to get worse. Banks in China, there are four tiers. The top tiers one are, you know, all the Bank of China. But there are those lower tiers. He told them much. He said 2026 is going to be bad. But it's going to stabilize in 2027. After that, you'll pick up all the way to 2030. China government projected. God gave authority over the earth to mankind, not to angels, and not reserved for himself to act unilaterally. The earth belongs to humanity. This is why God does not simply override evil. He waits for his people to pray and invite his intervention. And also, he has given us authority. We have to take authority against any demonic spirit, demonic power that's at work. Within our domain, we cannot do it for other people. Amen. Praise God. When we flow with the Holy Spirit, we will know what is to come. I'm telling you, this year is going to be bad. It's bad. It's going to be. The more I watch the news projection, it's bad. It's going to be very bad. Why is it going to be very bad? Because Iran knows how to hit America now. Not militarily, economically, they hit them. That's why it's going to be bad. Why does God doesn't just fix everything? Why? Because his authority was delegated to man, humanity. He gave Adam and Eve dominion over the earth. That authority was real, a genuine transfer of stewardship. God will not violate his own covenant by acting outside of that framework. He doesn't. He cannot. Amen. Else the devil would have accused God. Second reason, the fall complicated everything. That's why God cannot fix everything. When Adam sinned, he lost the divine power to exercise that dominion. Satan moved in to take dominion over the earth because the earth was recreated not for Satan to be on earth. When you read the snake on earth talking to Adam, right? Oh, Satan was on earth. No, God didn't create the snake to crawl on the floor. Amen? When he created everything, it was good, it was perfect, including the snake. But the title deed to the earth still belongs to humanity, which is why God works through praying people. Why God couldn't fix everything? Prayer restored the connection. Prayer is the mechanism by which humanity invites God's power back into earthly affairs. When we pray, We exercise our God-given authority and give God legal ground to act on our behalf. That's why we pray. If not, God cannot do anything for us. Amen. Very simple. If God could, then God should have stopped the war. Because God is not the one who's going about starting wars. Amen. So a common question arises. If God is all-knowing, all-powerful, and He is, why doesn't He simply eradicate evil without us having to pray? The answer lies in the covenant of authority He established with humanity at creation. He has given man, humanity, the authority to take dominion. So we take dominion over our sphere of domain, our sphere of influence. I just advised somebody not too long ago. I say, hey, not this in China. I say, your mother-in-law is not treating you well. And your husband's health is bad. The problem is with the Chinese culture. After you get married, parents don't want to meddle. So the parents try to meddle, you know. She has a girl and she's pregnant again. Then sometimes they prefer boys than girls. I say, you better take whatever you can in your name, you know. If not anything happened to your husband, your mother-in-law persecute you, you're not going to have anything to survive or look after your two children. So what I'm trying to say is, you better put whatever assets you can, put it in your name so that you are the authority over it, not your mother-in-law. Praise God. I said, you know, I heard your husband's health is not very good and then you get persecuted by your mother-in-law. So, you know, I'm the pastor, so I open my mouth. I say, you better take whatever you can now in your name. Put everything in your name, whatever you can. I told her, you got to ask God for wisdom to do it. Praise the Lord. Anything that's in your name, that's in your authority. If not, especially in China, mother-in-law, father-in-law, they just meddle. So we need, another reason why we need to pray is because we need divine supernatural power of prayer. James chapter 5 verse 16, the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man make tremendous power available. You pray, tremendous power is made available. You don't pray, it's not made available. I mean, God is sovereign. God is all-powerful. Why don't He just release His power? He couldn't, okay? He could. It's unjust that He doesn't stop the war. He couldn't. Amen? Because men influenced by demonic spirit, influenced by Satan, they start the war. And there's nothing God can do about it because man has his own free will. And God does not control our free will. He doesn't control. So, a lot of people, they yield their will to the devil's control. And prayer makes tremendous power available. If you don't pray, will the power be made available? It won't be. And we are made righteous in Christ. That means every believer has access to this tremendous dynamic power. Not because of personal merit, but because of what Jesus accomplished for us. This power is not theoretical. It is released through prayer and it changes real situations in real lives. Let me ask you a question. Does God want to change your situation in your life? Why don't He just release the power? He has the power and the Holy Spirit is everywhere. God is everywhere. Why didn't He just release the power, change your situation? Why do we need to pray? Because God couldn't do anything on earth without we asking Him. Prayer is asking Him. Prayer is praying in known tongue supplication to release His power. Flowing with the Holy Spirit. I heard already, somebody say, you know, wow, I'm going to get start a new job, you know, things begin to, my mother-in-law in hospital, my maid gave me a problem, my wife, suddenly somebody transferred into a department, it's backstabbing her, you better watch it. Amen. Things are going fine, suddenly it just goes haywire. If you're not trained, you're not been told, you think they are in natural, no, nothing that is natural in this world. Amen. In a way. Don't think, oh man, you say, oh, yeah, I just have a lousy of all the person trying to backstab you. And his wife is doing good in a job. Who is backstabbing her? Devil is backstabbing you. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. What happens without prayer? Some will never be saved. Some people will never be saved, delivered, or healed unless someone travails in prayer on their behalf. Their breakthrough is connected to someone else's prayer. Destinies remain locked. There was a girl in this church. She graduated from law school, got a master's degree in English. You know what she does all her life? Just give tuition to two kids. But her sister is a very successful lawyer. Why? There was another girl, graduate in accountancy, graduate in law, doesn't want to work as an accountant, doesn't want to work as a lawyer. She became just a PA, personal assistant to some MD, you know, many years back. Why? I said, don't want to waste money going to study. And studying accountancy in NUS, study law in England, wasting your father's money. Destiny will remain a mystery unless you continue to pray. Continue unfolding those mysteries so you know how to walk in them. Prayer is the key that reveals the path. Amen. Very unusual one. Let's go back to Payan and Oliver. You know how they came to school here? God prepared the way. We have the school and one of the students got to know Payan's cousin's wife in Pau Toh. And then, you know, that student came to school here and Payan's cousin's wife in Pau Toh say, hey, these two couples coming to school, can you let them stay in your place? That's how Payan came to church here. Payan got saved just a few months before she came to our church. And many a times, God knows, you know, who He can guide, who He can help, not just prayer alone. Amen. You must be open. You must have the kind of heart that is open to God, that see God, who wants God's will, and obey Him. A lot of people see God, but they don't want to obey Him because it doesn't suit them, you know. And He will prepare the way for you way before you know. And now she looked back. She said when she came to Singapore, I don't like it here. The weather, you know, all my friends, my 20 years friends are all in Beijing, you know. I come here, no, what a weather, I cannot take it. Praise God. And often your destiny, before even you knew God really, He knew you are the one that He, when He guides you, when He leads you, you will obey, He prepares the way for you. He had people long prepared for you. So, destiny remains a mystery unless you continue to pray. Prayer is the key that reveals the path so that you may know how to walk in it, in the path when you pray. Amen. What happens without prayer? Destinies are locked. What happens when we do not pray? Plans are derailed. Even those, well, now, some of them, you know, while they're brilliant students, you know, they try to go in medical school. They end up not in medical school. Why? Another person, prelim is all ease. And Sec 3, God said, you're going to go to medical school. And she ended up in medical school. Why? Because the plan derailed. Amen. Even those walking in God's plan need prayer. Walking in God's plan. Praise God. You know, in the morning service, we pray 10 minutes. We still need to pray after service. Even those walking in God's plan need prayer because the devil actively tries to throw them off course. Prayer releases the power to stay on God's path despite opposition. Amen? What happens without prayer? Life goes nowhere. There are Christians whose lives stagnate because they don't know how to pray out God's plan for them, or they simply don't pray about their destiny at all. Amen? And many times, you know, now it's down the road. Some people, you know, what's happening with them now is because of the prayer in the years gone by in this church. Okay? And some of them, you know, don't want to pray anymore. We're going to see the consequences down the road. So in crisis of life, we need God's divine supernatural power and His supernatural grace to undergird us, strengthen us, hold us, and pull us through. Amen? Another reason why we pray is because of the hidden works of the devil against us. We don't see. We cannot see. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 11. Let's read. Finally, my brethren, he said, be strong in the Lord, 1, 2, and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Amen. There are two things. To be strong in the Lord is to be strong in the word, and to be strong in the power of His might is to be strong in prayer. Then in verse 18, Paul tells us how to be strong in the power of His might. Praying always. Always praying. Always praying. Always praying with all prayer, all kinds of prayers, and supplication. After you pray other kinds of prayer, you supplicate. Amen? In the Spirit. Has to be in the Spirit, else it's not effective. And being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. I ask you, very unusual. When I went to the Friday prayer group, different. I said, you've been praying with them every Sunday. You don't sense that. She said, no. But when I went to the prayer group, I just felt there's something deep I need to pray out for somebody in that prayer group. And I was thinking, you know, why we are lazy, don't go, all kinds of religious ideas. Very specific for one person, very specific is deep. And after that, I said, why you have this word? He said, it came to me. the person said, I said, he made a statement. I said, why you make that statement? He said, statement. I said, why you have the word? I said, I didn't mention that word. He said, it came to me. It means the word came to him. Amen. The word wiles means crafty scheming with the intent to deceive against the vows of the devil. It means against a crafty scheme with the intent to deceive of the devil. That's why we need to pray. Be strong in the power of his might. Means you have to release that power through prayer to thwart the schemes of the devil. It also means cunning acts, trickeries, strategies of the devil. All the works of the devil are unseen with human eyes. Why must we pray? It is because of the hidden works of the devil against us. So to stand against the crafty scheming of the devil, we are to be strong in the Lord, that's in, strong in the word and the power of his might. Amen. How to be strong in the power of his might? Pray, make tremendous power available. You don't pray, no power is made available. To thwart, to come against forces in the realm of the spirit. Amen. You know, when you pray, when the time comes, you just know that's the place you are supposed to be. Just like Bayan and the son, they went there. They just knew, you know. We all were saying, advisors, oh man, you have to be careful, you know, don't just simply go, you know. Oh no, you know. And when they went, they just knew it's God, you know. And yet they still pray. They want to be sure it's God's will for Oliver to go to school there. Amen. If not, many times, you know, the scheme, the works of the devil that come against and the plans of God for their lives will be taught, derailed, in other words. So putting on the armor is putting on the word, our armor. This is how we are be strong in the Lord. To be strong in God's word, we first need to know God's word. Second, we are to be strong in our use of God's word. When we are strong in God's word, we are unmovable. I was telling somebody, I say, you know, if what we teach in our Bible school is not any of substance, a CFO who's not ordinary person, she's a CFO, he handled $2 billion project, she won't come to school and want to finish it. And a few of them finished my school, they had a master's degrees. If what we teach is not true, there's no spirit behind it, there's no substance, people won't want to come. Amen. What I'm trying to say is what I'm teaching, some of the students say, we have to pay to come and learn. You are so fortunate, but the problem is, you are so fortunate, but a lot of them don't take what we teach. Anyway, so when we are strong in God's word, we are unmovable from his word. We stand firm on his word and are unmovable. To stand against the crafty scheme of the devil, we have to be strong in God's word. Next is to stand against the crafty schemes of the devil, intending to deceive. We are to be strong in the supernatural power of the Lord's might. That's through prayer. And to be strong in the supernatural power of the Lord's might, we must be strong in prayer. To be strong in prayer is to be in a strong praying local church. So, Ephesians 6, verse 10 to 11. Then subsequently, Paul wrote to us in Ephesians 6, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication. Perseverance. We cannot just pray one prayer and that's it. You know why we need to persevere? Because of the forces of darkness in the realm of the Spirit that we don't see. They are also persistent. Amen. So Paul tells us we are to pray with all kinds of prayer because of the devil's crafty scheme. The hidden cunning acts, trickery, and scheming strategies of the devil are hidden. For this reason, Paul tells us to pray. The hidden works of the devil against us. Amen. I just read to you all this. Wiles means crafty scheming with the intent to deceive, to stand against the hidden scheming. Paul gives us two directives. Be strong in God's word. Be strong in prayer. Pray with all kinds of prayer, always in the Spirit. Know it, use it, and stand unmovable on His word. So to be strong in prayer is to be part of a strong praying church. That's why we pray. Amen? That's why I told somebody, I said, you know why I have afternoon service prayer? Primarily for the youth, because they are praying over that side. Many a times, you know, I don't know whether it's me or God. I said, why? Actually, I don't need afternoon service prayer. The moment I thought of you, I said, oh man. I arrested myself. Amen. They're not just praying, they're also fellowshipping over that side. And you've got any question, you need to ask Ariel. Ariel has a lot of knowledge, but a lot of general knowledge. Amen. Why we need to pray? Because of the hidden things. In Jeremiah 33, verse 3 says, call to me and I'll answer you and show you great and mighty things, fancy, hidden, which you do not know. I mean, why don't you tell us? You're sovereign, my God. He's sovereign. Why don't you just simply tell us? Why must call upon you? Then you tell me hidden things, not to distinguish and recognize, which we do not know, do not distinguish and recognize, have no knowledge of and understand. Call upon him, then he tells me. Call to me, hidden things revealed. There are two things when God spoke to Jeremiah, right? Call to me, the hidden bad things. Jerusalem will be destroyed. Israel will be taken captive in Babylon. This was the work of the devil. I mean, of course, Israel sinned against God, you know. And it was hidden from the natural mind until God revealed it to Jeremiah through prayer. Secondly, the hidden good things. God will restore Jerusalem and bring prosperity back to his people. This was the work of God, a future hope that could only be received through revelation by prayer. Amen. So one of the most crucial reasons this church prays is because of the hidden crafty schemes of the devil against humanity, against the church, against individuals. Prayer is not optional. It's our intelligent system in the spirit realm, because that's the only intelligent thing that we use against the devil. We don't see him, he can see us. Amen. Next thing, another reason why we pray, right? Praying mysteries in the spirit. For we, he who speaks in known tongue does not speak to man, but to God, for no one understands him. Howbeit in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. Amen. And the definition of the word mystery is not the mysterious as with the English word, but that which been outside the range of unassisted natural apprehension can be made known only by divine revelation. This word mystery is not as in the English word. It's made known by divine revelation. It's made known in a manner and at a time appointed by God. That's at the sovereign side. And to those who are illumined by his spirit. This mystery is from heaven. It's beyond natural understanding with your mind. You cannot understand unless the Holy Spirit assists you in understanding. And with this mystery is, understand what this mystery is, no one will understand. Unless the Holy Spirit assists you in understanding what this mystery is, no one will understand. This mystery is known only through divine revelation. When the Holy Spirit gives us divine revelation of this mystery, we will understand what they are. This mystery is made known in a manner and a time appointed by God. It can come in a vision, through word of knowledge, of wisdom, or interpretation of tongues. This mystery is made known by the illumination of the Holy Spirit in your spirit. Man cannot reason it out or analyze it with human mind. This mystery is not a mystery withheld, but one unfolded through praying in known tongues. Hence, the speaking in known tongues is associated with making the mystery known, manifested, revealed, and understood through praying in the known tongues. Amen. Praying mystery in the spirit. Praise God, I just read all this to you. The mystery of nature, not necessarily the work of the devil. Let's go back to the good wind story. Amen. This story is an example of praying out the mysteries of nature. This is one of the most supernatural, spectacular stories. And Brother and Sister Goodwins were pastors of East Texas Pentecostal Church. And one Sunday night, after Brother Goodwin had already gone to sleep, imagine it's maybe 12 midnight or before, right? Probably, you know, they didn't say. So Sister Goodwin got a strong burden to pray. She tried not to disturb her husband as she prayed in tongues and in deep groaning. This deep groaning is birthed by the Holy Spirit. But her groanings became so loud that she awakened him. When Brother Goodwin woke to his wife's groanings, he thought at first that she was sick. "What's the matter?" he asked her. "I have a burden to pray," Sister Goodwin said. "Some of our church folks are in danger." "Who is it?" "I don't know," she said. "But someone's life is in danger." She could sense someone's life in danger. Why didn't God just reveal everything to her? "Oh, so and so, his danger, where?" No. He asked me why. It's because of there's a realm of the spirit that where demonic spirit rules, or Satan rules. That's the second heaven. And sometimes it's, I don't know why messages couldn't get through, you know. Angels couldn't get through. But I know why angels couldn't get through, because of demonic spirits. But why still couldn't get through to us? You know, sometimes we just know. But it's important that once you know something, you must know what you must do. Amen. So the good winds tried to think of who it might be, but all they could come up with were the four families from church who were on vacation, driving all night long to get back home. So they prayed and claimed divine protection for all the families. Then Brother Goodwin fell back to sleep. Sister Goodwin tried to go to sleep as well, but that burden to pray was still there. Now, it really is a mystery. Why it's a mystery of nature, I'll explain to you. It's a mystery. You just sense somebody's life is in danger, but you do not know who. But if you don't pray in tongues, there's no way to pray. This mystery. Amen. So, but the burden to pray was still there. She started praying once more in tongues and in deep groanings. Finally, she woke up Brother Goodwin again. Sister Goodwin told her husband, that wasn't it. It's someone else in our congregation, not at four families. See, there's certain amount of sensing, knowing. There's certain amount of discernment in the spirit, but not no full understanding. So you must understand, you must learn what you must do. Amen. And not to ignore. She just had a spiritual discernment, a spiritual sense that someone's life was in danger who attended their church. So the Goodwins prayed together again and received some sense of relief in their spirits. Brother Goodwin went back to sleep and Sister Goodwin tried to do the same, but she just couldn't shake that burden to pray. She started praying in tongues and groaning again. And after a while, she once more awakened her husband. This time, he said, well, let's just get out of bed and pray. As the Goodwins prayed together in other tongues, Sister Goodwin couldn't seem to get relief from that sense of heaviness in her spirit. Finally, Brother Goodwin said, let's just pray in agreement, prayer agreement. Now, that's why I said early on Friday night, I just sensed there's a deep for someone in the prayer group. And we stayed with it. We didn't pray anything else. Amen. That's very important. If you had a burden, you stay with it. You have a sensing, you stay with it. You sense that there's something I need to pray out for this person. I stay with it. It doesn't have to be long prayer. Amen. And after that, he made a statement. I didn't mention that word. I said, where you get that word from? He said, it came to me. What does that mean? The word came from the Holy Spirit to him. Stay with it. He said, let's pray in agreement that the Lord will give that person, whoever it is, a dream or a vision that shows him the danger that's ahead. Prayer agreement. Before that, pray in unknown tongues. Now prayer agreement. Still don't know who. And they pray in the spirit. Thereafter, they pray in the spirit for a while. That means they went back to pray in unknown tongues. By the time they finally got back to bed, it was 4 o'clock in the morning. Remember, Brother Goodwin went to bed. So it's probably before midnight. So they prayed at least 4 hours in the known tongues, prayer agreements, went back to pray in the known tongues, prayer supplication, because it's earnest, heartfelt, groanings. So there are three kinds of prayer. Amen? Three kinds of prayer. That's why Paul said praying with all kinds of prayer and supplication. You stay with it. Stay with the burden, you stay with the groaning, you stay with the sensing, you stay with the flow until you pray through. Amen? Now, let me show you something else. I don't sense anything when I went to the Friday night prayer group last Friday. I just feel just as normal as you can say, almost unspiritual. But when we start to pray, I pray with understanding for somebody. Next thing, I just keep seeing this person. And then I went in to pray, and then something inside, I said, something I need to pray out. Something. It's not a groaning, but it's like a Amen. Thank you, Father. Now, what I'm trying to say is, what if I cancel all the prayers? Not only I didn't cancel, I made an effort to go. What I'm trying to say is, make an effort to avail yourself in prayer when we have prayer going on. You understand? Young people, you have a long road ahead of you. Don't be too busy with so many things. Prayer, put it to secondary. Well, when I have time, and the devil don't work with your time, okay? So they fell asleep. Consequently, they were sleeping later that morning when the phone rang. It was one of the men in the church, this Sunday school superintendent. He was a Sunday school superintendent, some lazy bum in his church, do nothing. And he had quite a story to tell. This man worked in the oil field as a member of a gang, or roughneck, the term for workers employed at the oil wells. That morning, when he showed up at work, the gang pusher or the foreman told him, Bill, the man who worked the drilling tower, hadn't shown up that day. Then the gang pusher said to the Goodwin Sunday School superintendent, "You work the drilling tower today. Go up there." So the Sunday School superintendent started to climb the ladder to the tower. Now, these are oil rig drilling rigs, land, not in the sea. Climbed the tower, but after reaching about 14 rungs, he reversed direction and climbed back down. On the ground again, the man told the gang pusher, the foreman, "I'm not going to do it." He said, "Why not?" The gang pusher, the foreman asked. Then the Sunday School superintendent said, "Well, I tell you." The Sunday School superintendent said, "I had a dream at 4 o'clock this morning." That's when they prayed the prayer agreement. Don't know who. "I know the time because the dream woke me up, and I went to the kitchen to get a drink of water and look at the clock. In the dream, Bill didn't show up. And I climbed up there to work on that tower. Then all of a sudden, a huge cable broke and cut off my head. I actually saw my head fall down to the ground in the dream. So I'm not going up." He was climbing up. You know why he turned around? Because of the prayer. Amen. After the prayer, he was still climbing up 14 rungs. Do you know how high is 14 rungs? Go home and go find a ladder and climb 14 rungs and see how high. So another worker on the gang was also present. He was a Christian man and a member of a nearby church, denominational church. It means that church don't speak in tongues. This man laughed and said, "Well, I'm not superstitious. I will do it." Christian, but from another church. "I will do it." The gang pusher agreed. The foreman said, "Agree." And the man climbed up to the ladder to the drilling tower. The gang started working, pulling one of the massive drill rig pipes out of the ground. But the man hadn't been up on the tower for more than 10 minutes when a huge cable broke and cut off his head, fell, and hit the Sunday School superintendent's back. Cut off head dropped, boom, hit the Sunday School superintendent. God has a way to really amuse him. He let the head, boom, hit the Sunday School superintendent. Then he looked at that, oh, his head on the ground. Have you seen the head on the ground? Somebody said, no. Huh? You might ask, why the man who died was a Christian? Why did the Lord warn him too? Because he's not from Goodwin's church. Goodwin's prayer cannot cover him. He goes to a denominational church, it doesn't speak in tongues. Yet that church is just across the street only, diagonally across the street. So when you get over into this realm of prayer through speaking in known tongues, you are in a different and deeper dimension of prayer. In this realm, you can pray for and pray out matters you don't know how to pray for as you ought. The Holy Spirit helps you to pray it through. The church where this denomination's men attended believed in prayer, but their prayer often, went something like this: "Lord, help those who need help. Bless those who need blessing. Do what you can, Lord. Amen." And then just finish praying and understanding. On the other hand, those who pray in other tongues can speak supernaturally to God and thus pray out those things that need to be prayed for. The Holy Ghost knows God's will and help believers pray according to it so that His plans and purpose can be brought forth on this earth. That's what happened as Sister Goodwin prayed that night for someone in church whose life was in danger. She didn't know what the situation was or who was involved, but the Holy Ghost knew, and He helped Sister Goodwin pray out the situation on behalf of a church member. In the end, the Sunday School superintendent's life was spared because Sister Goodwin made herself available to pray out that burden because the man acted on divine warning in his dream. Amen. I pray at least 4 hours right now. Avail yourself to pray. Pray till it is finished. I'm busy with this. I'm busy. I got everything else. And if there are signs in your life, the devil is throwing things, obstacles in your path, thank God you're in this church, I warn you. Why depth of prayer make the difference? the denomination prayer. This was sincere, but it lacked the depth to break through. The man from that church who climbed the tower was a genuine Christian, but his church had not entered the deep dimension of Spirit-led prayer. Praying in the Spirit. When you pray in unknown tongues, you enter a deeper dimension of prayer. The Holy Ghost knows God's will perfectly and help you pray it out, even for situations you have no natural knowledge of. There are spiritual forces in the realm of the Spirit that array against us. Many times, we need to pray those angels on assignment through. Not only pray that, you know, that you receive a revelation to avoid danger, but some, there are many times that angels need to be prayed through. The cable's failure was not simply the work of the devil. That's why it's a mystery of the nature. The cable probably is due to change. Wear and tear, it snapped. It was like due to ordinary wear and tear, but there were no demonic forces that need to be prayed through. The cable's failure was not simply the devil's work. It was likely due to ordinary wear and tear, but there were demonic forces that need to be prayed through so God could get his warning across. Else, why pray 4 hours? Why burden her to pray? Why the pastor's wife need to be burdened and pray 4 hours? Why pray so long? One simple prayer, I'm like, Lord, protect them. God, we claim protection. Hello, it doesn't work, okay? Amen. Don't just claim protection. I know a lot of denominations, oh, pastor, we pray you protect this person. You better pray in your own tongue and supplication if you sense it. The huge cable, wire cable snapped. That's probably due to wear and tear, and God knows. God knew exactly when it snapped. He knew when to get your pastors to pray for you. But there are demonic forces that they need to pray through to get the message across to him. Why don't send an angel to stop him from going up there? Don't ask me why. That's sovereign. How God's going to help you is his sovereignty. I cannot dictate. Lord, I want you to help me this way, dictate. 1, 2, 3, 4. This help you, help me like this. No, you're not God. You can ask him to help you, but how he helps you, he decides. Because there are a lot of things you don't see, he can see. Not because God is stubborn. He knows how to help you, the best way to help you, the best way to get across to you. Because you don't see the realm of the Spirit. Mysteries of nature. Cable snap, that's nature. Come a point, the cable need to change. If they don't follow maintenance schedule, they don't change the cable, the only time, the only thing is wait for it to snap. But when the pastor pray whole night, there are demonic forces that array against them from getting the message across to the man. Dream, why don't you just have a dream? After he prayed, you know, gave him the dream, they still don't know who he was. The important thing is, now, Brother and Sister Goodwin is a close friend of Brother Hagen. Okay? Now, Brother Hagen needs prayer. He will drive 300 miles to pray with them. Now, this is not my story. Brother Hagen told this story. When he needs prayer, when it was critical, he will drive 300 miles. 300 miles is more than 400 kilometers, correct? Very, very straight away. 1.3. So, in other words, you drive where? You drive to almost to reach KL. You drive almost reaching KL to go and find Sister and Brother Goodwin to pray. Amen? If they couldn't pray, you think Brother Hagen would drive all that distance to pray, get them to pray him and his wife? The cable is going to snap. That's the mystery of nature, fallen nature. Amen. But yet, God needed to get a message across. Same time, there were demonic forces that Goodwin needed to pray through so God could get the message across to this Sunday school superintendent. They had to pray till 4 a.m., praying out the mysteries of God's plan. Jeremiah 29 is a mystery of not nature, mysteries of God. Amen. Praying out the mysteries of God's plan, mysteries of God, the mystery of nature, the mysteries of God. This is one of the mysteries of God. Jeremiah 29, verse 11 to 13. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good, not for disaster. If you encounter disaster, it's not God's doing. It's not in God's plan. But to give you a future and a hope, that's why we all have a good future, bright future. And of course, we are not hopeless. In those days, when you know I have a plan for you, you come and pray. When you pray, I will listen. God, you since you know already, why you have a plan, why must I pray? You just tell me your plan. Correct? Not easy, correct? Not. Then every Friday I can watch drama and then go to prayer group, correct? Yes. Lord, Darius agree with me. Amen. I have a plan when you come and pray. In other words, you know, you don't pray, that plan remained a mystery. In those days when you pray, I will listen. Yeah, don't pray. This word listen means every time when God listens, He hears me, He hears and answers. Amen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, not half-heartedly, when you come to prayer, don't come half-hearted. I know some of you say, Pastor, you say me, I don't want to come. Don't come. I'm like that. Don't come. Because everything I do, everything I teach is for your benefit. Don't come. I know some young people, say, Pastor, you say me like that, I don't come. I don't pray. Guess who will pay the price? You think I will pay the price? When you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find. In other words, when you seek me wholeheartedly, how can you not find? In other words, an answer will come. Amen? That's why Paul said, persevere in prayer. Don't ever give up, because the answer is on the way. Amen? Amen, you know. Persevere. How do I persevere? Adults, persevere. When you we finish prayer, wait for the you. You cannot wait. You go off first, Amen. Don't go and come to God wholeheartedly. You want something from God? You decide first before you come. Don't pray. Make a decision first. What you want? Do you want God's best? Do you want God's plan? Decide first. Then come. Wholehearted means get it. Will He give it to you? You have trust. Do you have faith? Yes. Another scripture that gives you faith. Jeremiah 29. Don't come wholehearted. Must have forget it. Right now. Do something half-heartedly. Must have forget it. Right now. Huh? See, Barry, help me to fix the van. He wholeheartedly. I said, we went to the workshop. They said, $250 the seal. I said, Barry, they must have get from Toyota brand, original one. Barry said, forget it. 250 plus labor. Barry went to buy from Shopee and he fixed it himself. He saved the church $500. And he said, wow, I'm going to push it so hard. And he, you know what he did it? Thursday night until 10 plus, he's still doing it. I said, wow, Pastor Barry, very on the ball. Of course, God will reward him. So you want to do something for God, you do it wholeheartedly. You seek God, you seek wholeheartedly. Else, forget it. You want to pray, you pray wholeheartedly. Get it from Him. Then when you develop, have that attitude, that's the spirit of prayer. Then when somebody's life is in danger, God put a burden in your heart, you get it for him. You understand or not? Huh? What if your life is in danger, pastor half-hearted praying for you? Amen. So now you understand? You understand why I bug you that night? I said, tell me. See not? Amen. If you don't speak, I cannot know deeper. When you tell me more, I can understand further how to pray for you, how to pray deep for you. Do you understand? Now you know. In other words, I'm praying wholeheartedly for you. I have an idea for you. You want to know? You see me after service. Amen. It came this morning when must be from Friday night prayer. Sometimes after Friday night prayer, the Sunday, Saturday morning revelation come. I'll throw it to you, but you decide, you know, what to do. Amen. I'm still on prayer. Many times after you pray, answers don't come immediately. 1-2 days later, maybe 1 year later, Brian Oliver went over there and said, man, this is God. Praise God. Why do we pray? Because God cannot act on earth without us. Secondly, we need supernatural power. Thirdly, devil's schemes are hidden. Fourthly, why we need to pray is because a mystery must be prayed out. Fifthly, our future depends on our prayer. Amen.